It's so important that we're praying. And we're not praying for what we want. We're praying for His will to be fulfilled in every service. Not the will of a man, not the will of a woman, but the will of God to be fulfilled. And you know, more and more that I've been pondering on that, because I taught a whole thing in Mill Park on that. You know, I can see why Moses would have said, unless your presence goes with me. Now, I know as born again believers, we have His presence in us. But that corporate presence in a meeting, there's nothing like it. And I'll tell you, in these last days, it's going to take the corporate presence of a church, of a group of people, to see some things get shifted and some things get turned around. And He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. And you know, we taught this scripture over there, and I just felt the Lord prod me on that. We went through this scripture over there in Habakkuk 3:2 in the Message Bible. Just listen to this. It said, God, I've heard what our ancestors say about you, and I'm stopped in my tracks. I'm down on my knees. Do amongst us what you did amongst them. Work amongst us as you worked amongst them. And the reason he could cry for that is because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of miracles, amen? And he wants to do something, and he moves on the wings of prayer. James 5 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a man who knows his rights, it makes power available. That's dynamic, explosive in its workings. And you know, when we start praying for each other, Paul said, pray for me. This great apostle Paul that wrote so much of the New Testament, that seen miracles, seen demonstrations, had revelations, and some of them he didn't share. This man said, pray for me. Why? He said, pray for me that a supply of the Spirit will come and avail me. But then again, even in Ephesians, he said again, pray for me for boldness to preach the word. Amen. So, well, how much more in these days we're living in do we need to pray? And not take things for granted. To get into that place in God where you begin to experience His presence. You know, this morning when I was praying, I'm telling you, a heat wave went from my feet right up my body. It was like pure power was moving in me. And after that, I went, whoa, what is happening? Is it my slippers or what? And the Lord, and He just said, just continue. And it was just rising. The heat was just rising. And all of a sudden, it was like honey started to flow. And He said, my words to you will be like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and bring health to the bones. And as I began to continue praying and engaging with the presence that was there, the Lord began to speak to me about the church. I mean, I was inside of His speech. I can't explain that any other way. It was like a vision, but I wasn't observing the vision. I was in the vision. And God wants to do something. He really wants to do something in and through our lives. You know, when you spend time with God in His presence, there's lots of things that change in you. One of the greatest things I think changes in us is that we become more humble. Because He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, He will exalt you. You know, we're humble even to that scripture that He's just shared in tithes, that, Father, we honor you. How could we not honor you with our finances? You gave us it to start with. Where did it all come from? It came from you. And you've asked us to take the smallest of portions from it and to come to you and honor you with it. And we humble ourselves to do what you said. And He said, I'll do something big on your humility. When you humble yourself to do my word, I will do something big on humility. And he said, I'll fill the barns with plenty. Amen. So soon as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he exalts us. Amen. And give him back. You know, you're not really even giving back hardly anything that he's asked for. Amen. And he's such a wonderful God, and he wants to do. You know, the biggest thing that God wants to do in our life is to display himself in us and through us. You know, how many people around your life really know that you're a Christian? How bold are you around people? How many people around you know that you're actually a Christian? That you're blood washed, blood bought? How many people do we actually verbalize that to? How many people are we bold when they're going through things to say, I'll lay hands on you? You know, through our lives, we get intimidated through circumstances and situations in our life. And the intimidation of the enemy, every attack of the enemy is to shut us up and stop seeing our worth in Christ. Amen? Amen? Paul said, pray for me for boldness. Listen, boldness isn't just for preachers. Boldness is for the body. Boldness is to be witnessing every day. Boldness is to go to people and tell them there's a God in heaven that loves you. And you don't need to be going through what you're going through because he wants to pull you through it. Boldness is to say, I'll lay hands on you. And so he wants us to be bold verbally with his words and to demonstrate. You know, I've been listening to a little bit of a minister, a Bonnke, to get stirred up in some areas. And he said, you know, most of the body of Christ are praying for more anointing. He said, but they haven't used the anointing they've got, so they're not getting any more till they do. Increase, he said, comes with usage. When you use it, he increases it. And he said, where he wants you to use your anointing is to see the lost saved, the sick healed, and people's lives delivered. Amen? Say amen. Amen. Glory. That isn't my sermon. You've got an extra. I want you to turn today to Galatians 3. Father, thank you for the privilege, the absolute honor of sharing your word. Whether it's here in church, whether it's individually with people, what an honor to be able to do that, to plant seed in people's lives that has the potential to change their destiny. So I thank you today, Father, for this time and for the words that you've placed in me, that I'm just a carrier of your words. And I thank you that as we speak them out and they get sown into the hearts of the people, that they will bear fruit. They'll bring forth fruit. They'll bring forth your plans and your will and your purposes for each one of our lives. We give you glory today that we're not ordinary. We're extraordinary because we have greater is he that lives in us. Father, we're not confound to the natural things because we have a supernatural God living on the inside of us. And we thank you that, Father, there's times we just need reminding of that. That greater is he that lives in me. Greater is the wisdom. Greater is the power. Greater is it all on the inside of me. And I thank you for it, Father, that I need to become, we need to become more inside minded in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Say, good preaching, Pastor Eileen. Good preaching, Pastor Eileen. Say, I'm awake. I'm here. I'm all here. You know, your body can be here, but you can still be at home. How many of you know that? So you need to say, I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm all here.
I'm all ears.
I'm all ears.
My heart's open.
And I'm ready to receive to the engrafted word that has the ability to change my soul, to change my life, to change my destiny. In Jesus' name. Say glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I've been praying for an awakening. But the body of Christ needs an awakening. An awakening unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Wake up. That's what God's saying. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen. Arise and shine. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has purchased our freedom. And everyone said,
amen.
Oh, that is so weak. Amen. Christ has purchased our freedom.
Hallelujah.
Redeeming us from the curse. And from the law and all its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. To this end, that they're receiving Christ Jesus and the blessings and the promises that were made to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we through faith might receive all the promises of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said,
amen.
Glory be to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I'll tell you something. He didn't just take you out of something. He didn't just redeem you out and go, well, you're out now. No, he redeemed you out, but he redeemed you into something.
Yes,
amen. He pulled you out to put you into something. The Bible says he redeemed you from the curse and put you in to the blessings of God. That's what he did in our lives. And Paul in Ephesians 1, let's quickly go there, next book over. Ephesians 1, 16 says this. I could just say it, but we'll read it. I do not cease to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers. Father, I pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you may grant to Eileen Brown a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of your will, by having the eyes of my heart flooded with light, so that I can know, underline that in your Bible, so there's some things he wants us to know, underline know, that we might know and understand the hope to which he has called us. That we might know and understand how rich is his glorious inheritance to the saints, his set apart ones. Then he wants you to know the unlimited power of God in your life. That you might know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power in and for us. Underline these next words. Who believe? You have to believe in the power. Amen? You have to believe in it, in that power. Who believe in the working of his mighty strength? So this is Paul's prayer this morning, that you would know. Not just knowing up here, church. Knowing in your heart. Know by revelation in your heart. You need to know some things. You need to know, what has Christ done? What has Christ done for me? I need to know that. What has God done in Christ for each one of us? And you know, this should be your prayer. I wrote this out. Lord, reveal to me what you have done for me and open my eyes and help me to see. Amen. See it. Because a lot of times, you know what? We're just praying constantly for things that God's already done, already purchased, already bought for us. What we need to pray is, God, open our eyes and reveal to us what Christ has done. We need revelation knowledge. Amen. We are the body of Christ. We need to be having revelation knowledge. Glory, I can see how excited you are on that.
Amen.
Glory. Open our eyes so that we can see what you've done for us. Help us to see. Help us to understand. I'm spending time in the book of Proverbs by a call right now. You know, I've only been called twice. I can go into books myself, but I actually had a divine call to go back into it. And you know, in Proverbs it says, seek wisdom and understanding. You need both working together. So help us to see and understand what you've already bought and paid for. We need a revelation of what Christ has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. He redeemed you from, he redeemed you to. You know all you should be focused on every day? I'm blessed coming into this day. I'm blessed at the close of this day. The blessings are over me. I'm blessed in my bank account, blessed in my family, blessed in my food, blessed in my job. I am blessed, blessed, blessed. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, you shall know truth. This has got to become a truth in us. You shall know the truth and the truth that you know. And you've heard us share this lots of times. You can't live on someone else's reality. You can be inspired by it, but you can only live on the reality you have. And you know what? It's meditation in the word that brings revelation to your life. And when revelation comes, things change in our lives. He said, you shall know the truth, Eileen. I can't live on my husband's knowledge of truth. He can't live on mine. He tries to. No, I'm joking. But we can't live on each other's revelation of truth. We can't. You cannot live on one another's. We've got to be developing our truth in the Word of God. And he said, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know will make you free. Free from death. Free from fear, free from sickness, free from everything that the devil wants to throw at you. And everyone said, but then he goes on and he says, if you continue in my word. So, you know, it's not just an initial thing. You have to continue. This is a journey. Amen. It's not a destination. We're walking in a journey with God of every day bringing truth to our lives and meditating in that truth so that the Holy Ghost can bring revelation that comes with demonstration to our lives. Amen. 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 So what did he say, Paul, that you might know some things? We need to know we've been redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter. Hallelujah. We might just preach right through lunch today. How does that sound? We might end up just going to heaven off the preaching today. Glory to God. 1 Peter 1:18. Listen to this. He said, please underline these in your Bible. They're not put in there by accident. You must know, you must recognize that you were redeemed. You were ransomed from useless, fruitful ways of living, inherited by the tradition of your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you, Eileen Brown, were purchased with the precious blood of Christ the Messiah, like a sacrificial lamb without blemish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God that you need to know that you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know something? You belong to God by creation. He created us. But somewhere along the line, we got sold in by the slave market of sin. Amen. So now the God that created us has to now come and buy us. He does. And so he was willing to do that. So he redeemed us. That means a payment was made because we were kidnapped. We were taken through our sins and our shortcomings. And God paid a payment. And he said, I didn't make a payment with corruptible things. I didn't use silver and gold. And you know why he didn't? Because you were worth to him a much higher price, and he was prepared to pay that because he's seen you worthy of that price. He's seen value in you. Amen. He's seen you were worthy, so he paid the price to redeem you. And he didn't redeem you, he said, with something corruptible like silver and gold. He used the blood of his son. Amen. To redeem each one of us. Then in one, we don't need to turn there, but write it down. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know? We've got to find out some things, church. You know, the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people go into captivity because they've got no knowledge. They're trying to live off someone else's reality, someone else's knowledge. And the inspiration of that might carry you for a month. But I'll tell you, if hell breaks out around you, it's not going to be the inspiration that gets you through. It's only going to be the revelation that brings you to the other side. Amen. I shared it. I think I didn't preach last week, did I? So where did I preach? Oh, Wednesday night. I shared that. You know, you've Brother Copeland was broke, in debt. Didn't have a decent car. Had a truck that was falling to pieces and wired together. But he heard Brother Hagin speaking on prosperity. He heard Brother Hagin preaching about freedom. So we went to Harrison House in Tulsa that was owned by Brother Hagin's son-in-law, Buddy Harrison. And he went to there to buy some tapes. And in those days, as he puts it, they were those big reel-to-reel things. And he went there and he said to Buddy Harrison, I'll give you my truck if you give me all these tapes. And Buddy shared it. He said, well, I looked at the truck and thought, I don't want the truck, and we don't even want it on our property. It looked that bad. And so he said, we'll just give you all the tapes, load them in your truck, and take them both home. And he locked himself away for words to become revelation to him, for words to become life to him. So he wasn't living on Brother Hagin's inspiration of that word. He was developing through him, committing himself to that time to hide away with the word and get that word so it started to take up residence in his heart. How do you know when the word's taking up residence in your heart? Because you leak. You leak. Yep, you're like a bucket with holes in it, leaks everywhere. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. It's coming out everywhere. Amen? That's when you know. And you start sharing it. It comes out. And we've got to start developing that in our life. You know, he said in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know? There's some things you've got to find out. We've got to find out about our authority. Amen? You've got to find, and you've got to start using it. We've been putting up with things we should not be putting up with. You shouldn't put up with anything because legally you've been redeemed from it. But we put up with these things. And then we go to natural things. And there's nothing wrong if you need them, but we go to them instead of building the truth of our authority on the inside of us. We shouldn't have to put up with sickness and disease. We shouldn't have to put up with lack in our life. Jesus paid the price. He took the curse of that on him so that you could live blessed financially, blessed in your health, blessed in your marriage, blessed in your families. Amen? And everyone said, is that good? Hallelujah. So he asked them, do you not know? Now, the reason he was asking them a question here is because of how they were living at that time, because they had no idea, no revelation that their body was a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you have that revelation? That you are a walking, talking temple of God. That everywhere you go, God goes. Amen. That greater is he. Do you know what? I got up, I think it was either Thursday or Friday, and I was praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I started saying, greater is he that's in me. greater is he that's in me. And I'm praying in tongues and I'm going, greater is he that's in me. Greater is God in me. Greater is the blood that's over me. Greater, greater, greater. I'll tell you what, I was like a jumbo jet at the end. I was ready for takeoff. Amen. I was fueled. My luggage was on board. The food, the drink were there. And I was ready for a journey that day. Amen. We've got to get revelation of that. Because the body of Christ lives begging God to do something instead of standing up and saying, devil, get your filthy hands off my family in the name of Jesus. You have no rights. Jesus stripped you of that right over my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Do you know that you were bought with a price? Can I tell you what that price was? What a price. I mean, we just come through Easter. What a price. I mean, I look at my kids. I look at my family and I go, I couldn't honestly tell you I could sacrifice them for someone. I couldn't. I would feel the pain it must have been. And God did that. He watched his son be humiliated. He watched his son get stripped. He watched his son get spat at, slapped around till he was unrecognizable, laughed at. The son and the father that created these people. And they jeered him. And then when he's brought before people as a public spectacle, they let a thief go. And tell them to crucify the Lord of glory. What did he go through? And that was bad enough. But he knew. He knew from a baby in a cradle what was going to come on him. And you know something? Those whips on his body. That humiliation before the people was nothing to your past, present, and future sins coming on him. And he knew that was going to happen. Because he said, if this cup can pass me over, if this cup can pass me over, but God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because he knew the whole purpose of coming to earth was to fulfill that. Your freedom could never have been purchased unless he went to the cross. Amen? And he paid it all for each one of us. He paid that price because he loves us. Amen. So I want to ask you a question this morning. God gave everything for you. And the devil didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it. The Bible says he can lay it down. He can pick it up. So he laid down his life for us. That had turned our back on him. That had used his name the wrong way. That had disrespected him in every way we possibly can. But he laid his life down for each one of us. He shed his blood. The most expensive thing. The most awesome thing that God could offer for Pastor Peter. For Liz. For you, Ruth. The most thing that he could offer wasn't $100 note. It wasn't $1 billion. It was the blood, the spotless blood of the Lamb. So let me ask you a question. We're going to finish this tonight at Mill Park. Let me ask you a question. If he gave absolutely everything, what does that make you worth? What does that make you worth? What does that make you worth? What does that make you worth, Tim? If he gave everything for you, what does it make you worth? Because that world out there is making you feel worthless, useless, no value. And you know how we know that? Because people today take their lives because they feel worthless, because they feel useless, because they feel of no value. And so every day you can open the paper and someone's hung themselves. Someone's cut themselves, someone's done something to themselves, and if you trail their life back, you'll find out that they felt worthless, of no value, because the world tells you no value, no value, no value. And the devil's telling you all the time, even Christians that know Jesus, you no value, no value, no value. That's an absolute lie. Because he didn't take money for you. He put blood on you and he gave everything. Absolutely everything he could give, he gave for you. How much does that make you worth? How much am I worth? Hallelujah. I'm worth 100 dresses and more. I'm telling you, how much are you worth? You know what that world tells you? You are not worth much. Because in the streets of Melbourne, you what? Read it. In Australia, people are killed for less than $100. You read it in the papers every day. Someone broke into someone's house and killed them. They got $50. That's the value they put on your life. Less than $100. What's the value God put on your life? The blood. The blood. He gave everything in that blood. And that makes you of great, great value. Amen. You are so valuable. He paid everything for you. He gave everything for you because he loved you. Amen. Listen to this and we'll close and then we'll finish this off tonight. You know, one translation says this, and I carry this around with me a lot. You know, because I had a mum tell me one time, she said, I have a daughter, she's 16. So, yeah. She said, I just didn't feel right about what, you know, how she was feeling. And I said, and what? She said, well, she went out to the garage, but she was really acting strange. And she said, so I followed her out there, and she's got a rope and a chair ready to kill herself. Why? Because of things that were said in school to her that she had no value. And when she looked in the mirror, she couldn't see any value. But you know something? We carry such amazing value. And this teaching isn't to make you prideful. We're looking at your value in truth. And you know, this translation says this: there is no amount of money that is worth the value of one human soul. No money can do it. Money couldn't buy it. Let me say this: the richest person in the world, if they've got a family member that's dying or died, they'll tell you, I would give it all away to have them another day, another week, another month, another year. Paul McCartney, when Linda McCartney was diagnosed with cancer and eventually died with him laying next to her, and he said, he's got billions. He said, I would give it all away like that, to have had her another day, another month, another year. That's how much value he put on his wife. But I'll tell you something, God's got a greater value on each one of you. And I want to tell you something this morning. Every single attack on your life has been to stop you seeing your value. Every attack, every work of darkness is to rob you of your value so that you can't see it. I want you to see today, if God put the greatest value on you, you should value you. And you should be getting up every morning and saying, not arrogantly, but I'm valuable to God. Do you know the greatest revelation I believe that anyone can really have? Is the revelation that God loves me. That's the greatest revelation, because everything will connect itself to that. Because when you feel loved, you feel confident, you feel secure. And the greatest revelation, I had a lady come to our healing school, and we had that every week. And she came in, she'd been diagnosed with horrible aggressive cancers in her. And she didn't, from the natural, look very good. I was teaching a series that whole term, which was about 10 weeks, just on God loves me. That's it. And Jeremiah says that He loves us with an everlasting love. For God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son for us. Hallelujah. And she sat in that teaching. She rang me twice. And she said to me, that teaching has literally set me free and absolutely healed my body. That lady does not have cancer today. Because the greatest revelation that we need is that we're loved. Amen? That's what happens where people feel nothing in marriages, where one or the other has been hurt in a marriage. They feel of no value, so they're asking all the time, do you love me? Do you love me? Because they're trying to find their value again. God loves you. And I'll tell you how I know this today, because He gave me this message just for you. And every single attack, Kylie, against your life has been to stop you seeing your value. Every attack, Michelle, against you, every single attack has been to stop you seeing your value. Every work against you, Liz, has been to stop you seeing your value. To rob you of confidence. You know what? When we've got confidence, we are contagious. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His word, we know He hears us. And because we know He hears us, we know we have the petition. So what does the devil do? He starts the attacks to rob you of your confidence. Why? Because after one or two attacks, you start to feel worthless. Come on, it's the truth. And so we need to know the truth, that you are worth. You were worth the blood. And God wants to do something in your lives today. Amen. Every attack, Guyani, every attack has been a mark to stop you seeing your worth and to make you question yourself. Every attack against anyone's life has been to make you question and to rob you bit by bit. Start drawing off you that confidence, that boldness. And you need to recognize that today. Amen. And so this morning as we close, I know we've gone a bit later, but I felt the urgency of this today. I'm going to pray for us today, this prayer. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do? To stand up and come out the front. Because I like to pray at an altar. Amen. I believe in the altar of God. Do we have that song?